وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيكم. جزاك الله خير حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. As always, for your beautiful du'as for us and for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your services for his beautiful deen and grant you the best of deen dunya and akhirah. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. بلى من أسلم وجهه لله وهو محسن فله أجره عند ربه سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International. Now we come to the third question that was put forward to Rasulullah, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Hazrat Jibrail alayhi salam, that mal ihsan, what is ihsan? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, an ta'bud Allah ka annaka tarah fa in lam takun tarah fa innahu yarak, that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a manner as if you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you are not seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least Allah is watching you. So, like Islam and Iman, Ihsan too is a distinctive and theological, typical term in the Quran and Majid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلَا مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّي. Whosoever surrender his purpose, you know, his aims and his objects to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and wahuwa muhsin, then, and he's a person doer of good, falahu ajruhu inda rabbi, then his reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another Quranic ayat, wa man ahsanu deena mimman aslama wajhahu lillahi wahuwa muhsin. Who is better in religion than he who surrenders his purpose, who submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while doing good? So this muhsin, it's a term. The significance of ihsan has been amply indicated by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith that we are busy discussing. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that the sublime, the most gracious and the all-powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present before our eyes, and we so to speak to see him. So take it like this. A slave carries out the commands of his master, sometimes in the master's presence and sometimes in the master's absence. So generally there is a difference in the quality of his work in the two situations. He discharges his duties with greater efficiency and keenness under the eye of the master than when the master is away. So in the absence of the master, he is apt to be negligent. The same is true to bondsmen in respect of the real Lord and Sovereign Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the bondsman will feel that the master is present right there, watching his every act and movement, his servitude will acquire a special earnestness and dignity which cannot be possible if his heart is devoid of the awareness. So ihsan denotes nothing more than that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be worshipped and his decrees and injunctions obeyed as if he's seeing us and we are seeing him. There is nothing that he does not watch and observe. This is what is meant by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's advice contained in this hadith. So, al-ihsan, an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarahu, fa'in lam takun tarahu fa'innahu yarak. Ihsan means to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see him, for if you do not see him, he sure sees you. So, it is often maintained about this part of the tradition that it applies exclusively to salah. So it is said that only salah is required to be offered with full humility and devotion. But the words of the tradition do not justify it. It speaks of ta'abbud, which denotes absolute worship and obedience. So thus there is no justification for limiting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's observation and teaching just to salah. So in every facet of our life, we must apply this. Moreover, in another version of this hadith, the word taksha has also been used in the place of ta'abbud, which translated in English, it will mean, ihsan means that you fear Allah as if you see him. So taksha, you fear Allah. Yet another version has it that ihsan means that you perform every act for the sake of Allah and in such a way that you see him. So both of these accounts make it clear that ihsan is not only related to salah, but it covers the entire range of living and doing and every substance that is that very act of worship and obedience. It should be performed, and all the divine commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be carried out, and the prospect of final reckoning must be dreaded by us. We have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. You know that one day we are going to stand for accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must dread that particular occasion. And Allah is watching all our movements. It happens with us many times. You know, now if you're sitting in a doctor's surgery and you find an overhead camera there, then you wouldn't even pick your nose because you have the presence of the camera looking at you, that somebody who may be seeing that version, you know, live will be actually seeing you pick your nose. So you can imagine that you become so conscious in the environment around today. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, he's forget everything around us that Allah is knowledgeable about. But he even knows, alimun bidhati sudur, the innermost recesses of our hearts. So always create the wahuwa ma'akum aina ma kuntum, that Allah is with you wherever you are. Then the question was asked to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the last hour. So after inquiring about Islam, Iman and Ihsan, so the newcomer, Hazrat Jibreel Islam, requested Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell him when the last hour will take place, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Mas'ulu an anha bi'a'lama min as-sa'il," that he who is being asked, hasn't got any more knowledge than the one about it than the one who is questioning. So his Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was expressing to us, Jibreel Islam, that he was as much ignorant as the questioner in himself. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala's account of the above hadith, which is also reproduced in Sahih Bukhari, it is added that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the last hour is among the five things about which it is stated in the last verse of Surah Luqman of the Quran, that the knowledge is with Allah alone and no one else knows anything about them. So what about those five things? That Allah has got the knowledge of the hour. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ, and then says when it sends down rain, he only has the knowledge. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, and he knows what is in the wombs. You know, today they will tell you masculine or feminine, and we feel, hey, you know what, the time back we never knew that, now they even know that. But there's far more greater things, you know, regarding the child, the offspring in the womb of the mother, that Allah has knowledge about, that nobody else will be able to have knowledge about that. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسُ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا, and what you're going to be earning tomorrow, you don't even know that. You know, you may find cases where a person thinks that he's feeding his family and that he's doing everything, and then he just suffers a stroke, and now he is not able to earn anything for anybody and not for himself as well. So وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسُ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسُ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ, and which land, where is he going to die? That knowledge only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. Inna Allah alimun khabir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing, you know, and is all aware of everything. So the commentators have observed that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, instead of giving a straightforward reply that he had no knowledge of the hour, preferred to say that he who is asked has no more knowledge about it than he who asked, because he wanted to emphasize that no one in the world, Neither the one who asked nor the one who was asked was aware of it. And by reciting the last verse of Surah Luqman, he made his reply more striking and clearly that the knowledge of the final hour is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the signs of the last hour. On receiving this answer about the last hour, so the hour the visitor asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell him about its signs. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then described two of the main signs. And he said, the slave girl will give birth to her mistress or master, and the poor, ill-clad and starving herdsman will erect high building, you know, barefooted Bedouins of the desert. So the first sign has been explained by the authorities in various ways. So in our view, the most reasonable interpretation is that in the period preceding the hour, the tendency to disobey the parents will become widespread. So much so that daughters, who are by nature are more respectful and obedient to their mothers, and about whom it is hard to believe that they can ever be defiant towards them, will not only become insolent to their mothers, but actually dominate over them and treat them, you know, as a mistress treats a slave girl. So it will be another way around. In other words, there will be a general tendency towards parents becoming the slaves of their children. And the sign indeed is already being witnessed. You know, that what they say must go. The other sign denotes that the period preceding the hour will, amongst other things, be remarkable for the fact that wealth will pass into the hands of the lowborn who will be utterly unworthy of it. They will be interested only in making a vulgar display of their affluence by building palatial houses and competing with each other fields of ostentatious living. You know, yatatawaluna fil bunyan. So if you see what's happening in Saudi Arabia, none of the Bedouins of the era of the desert would ever imagine that there would be buildings higher than these mountains here. And you know, once I went into the Zamzam Towers, and as you looked out of the window, you saw a level with that window, you know, in the distance, a plane is flying. So such high buildings, they have put up the Bedouins of the desert right in front of the Baytullah. So how true was the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So the same subject is also broached in another hadith. You know, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَى غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَ. When authority and high offices are handed over to the unworthy, then wait for the last hour. So at the end of this hadith under discussion, it is mentioned that after the visitor had departed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disclosed that he was Jibreel alayhi salam, the trustworthy who had come to teach people their religions by means of the dialogue. So questions and answers, you know, this particular facet is also a manner in which we can teach our children, you know, Islam. And this is proven from this hadith. You know, in some versions of the above hadith, it is stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the visit by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam and the ensuing conversation had taken place during the last days of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. But that being the case, it would appear that Allah had mercifully decided to bring to perfection the companions in faith by making Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explain the exact meanings and the substance and the essence in reply to the questions put to him by Jibreel al-Islam, and to make the Sahaba ikram the trustees of that knowledge that alhamdulillah it has passed on to us. So in fact, three things from the basis of faith. Firstly, the bondsman surrenders himself wholly to Allah and casts his life into the mold of submission to Allah. This is what Islam is, while its tenets and practices are the signs and symbols of this fundamental reality. Secondly, the major transcendental truths the messengers of Allah have revealed and called on mankind to believe in are accepted as true. This is Iman. And thirdly, if Allah enables one to complete the stages of Islam and Iman, the third and ultimate stage is the consciousness of the existence of Allah, and the awareness of his omnipresence must become so strong within us that our allegiance is rendered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his commands are carried out as if Allah is present before our own eyes. Now, if we're walking in the marketplace with our ustad, our teacher, our parents, and there can be the most obscene thing taking place on the side of the road, we won't even look at it for the respect that we have and the presence of our parents and our ustad, etc. Such is the feeling we must have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even to a greater extent, that Allah is watching me. So today we only worry about the physical side of it, and we can go behind closed doors and do what we want to do failing to realize it. Although our doors have closed to the entire world, but the doors to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not closed. Alhamdulillah, this is a very beautiful hadith that brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His infinite grace and mercy, give us the tawfiq to make amal and become among His near and dear servants. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.